Nevada Supreme Court is now in session. The Honorable Chief Justice Pickering presiding.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the time and virtual place set for hearing on ADKT 565, which is a petition presented by the Board of Bar Governors addressing virtual hearings in the disciplinary arena. And I don't know, and I apologize, I didn't get a chance to reach out before this conference, which of you wishes to present the petition to the court? In other words, who wishes to speak first?
Thank you, Chief Justice. This is Eric Doberstein, President of the State Bar. You're all familiar with the petition, and I'm assuming you've read everything, and you're familiar with what's going on in our nation and our state and our court system with respect to what has happened with COVID. Joining us today, we also have, after I get done speaking, if you have any questions for either Bar Counsel, the Executive Director of the Bar, or a couple of our disciplinary chairs who are joining us, feel free to ask them any questions. They're here to provide any information you all need in order to make a proper decision. I'll be quick. As you see that we're asking for the State Bar Office to conduct simultaneous audio-visual transmission for the disciplinary proceedings. We are wanting to proceed with that method similar to what we are doing here today with the Supreme Court, as well as the Second Judicial District Court and the 8th and the 5th Judicial District Courts as they're proceeding with hearings that they are currently conducting. As you all know and are familiar with, this is a privilege license that we all hold as attorneys, and some of the rights that criminal defendants enjoy are not necessarily recognized in the administrative hearings and the discipline hearings, but the court and the Bar Council does try to provide every opportunity and as many rights as possible to the respondents when there are grievances affecting their licenses and their ability to practice law, and we do try to provide that as the best as we can. But based upon the extraordinary circumstances that all of us have been experiencing since March, and with the original hopes that this would be something that would clear up in a few months, and that not taking place, we've all had to adjust and plan for the worst in order to conduct our business in the courts and with the state bar. So, unfortunately, many of the respondents have taken this opportunity as a procedural move to delay the inevitable hearings that need to take place. They've asked for continuances and objecting to having anything other than the hearings taking place in person. We feel that the grievance and the general public are not being served, and we're not being able to process the grievances and the complaints in a timely manner, and thus we are denying justice, which is being delayed. Currently, we have a backlog as a result of this, similar as what the courts are experiencing in the criminal world, as well as the civil. We have a backlog that has developed into approximately a 6 to 9 months behind, and we have 67 hearings that are pending. So with that problem that is looming out there, we would like to go ahead and start moving forward with the video hearings and conduct them similarly to what the district courts are doing. We've thought of, a number of issues that may arise. I don't know how familiar you each are with respect to how the record is put together, but if you have questions with respect to that, feel free to ask us. But typically, the documentation and the exhibits are reviewed at a, you want to call a pretrial meeting between everyone. Documents are stipulated to usually, and usually there's a agreed upon record. So all of that would be in the possession of everybody at the time a video conference would take place or a video hearing. So everyone should have those documents in front of them. And if they wish to work and use the technology of today's day, obviously we can share documents while we're all speaking or share screens. And the bar office is even willing to help provide technical assistance for some of our colleagues who may not be as technologically advanced as some of others are. So with all of that, I'll turn it back over to you all, again, with our request on behalf of the State Bar to help us facilitate justice. I think it's in the best interest of everybody, of us, our profession, as well as the public, that we move forward in this. And I believe we've not received any type of comments one way or the other that have been filed with the court, unless the court is aware of something that I've not received yet.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, I have not seen any written comments. Did any come in?
No, Chief.
Thank you. Yeah, you're correct, Mr. Doberstein. Does anyone on the court have any questions for Mr. Doberstein?
Chief, this is Justice Kadish.
Yes.
Mr. Doberstein, just quickly, I just want to make sure I understand what's happening now. Have you had any discipline hearings during this period of time that we've had the COVID-19 spreading in the community? And if so, how have you been making those arrangements?
I'll let Dan, Bar Counsel, give you the specifics, but I believe there have been some hearings, but only when both parties have consented to such.
I see.
But most of them have been requesting continuances, but I'll let Mr. Hoagie answer that.
Yeah, Dan Hoagie, Bar Counsel, for the record. We have had 23 hearings so far since the middle of March when the COVID-19 protocols came into place and Governor Sisolak issued his first directive. And like President Doberstein stated, those have all been consensual. And so we actually had 13 hearings through August, which was really low. Typically, we have on average about 5 or 6 a month, and we were averaging like 2 or 3 a month those first few months. But then in the last month or two, July and August, we've really pushed harder. And I think as time goes on, more of the respondents are more comfortable with it, and so we've had 10 since then. So the 13 and 10 make up the 23 hearings since March 12th, I believe it was.
Is there a current rule that says they must be held in person?
No. Supreme Court Rule 105 just entitles them to a hearing. It doesn't say in-person hearing, but of course that's the way we've always held them.
Right.
But I think it's more a traditional thing.
Right. Thank you.
Chief, if I may, a question to Mr. Hoagie. Out of the hearings that you're setting, how many objections are you actually getting? I mean, does this seem to be something that's becoming very prevalent, that every time you set a hearing, you're getting an objection to doing it remotely? Or is it, I'm just trying to understand the dynamic there and how many are getting continued and put off because of the objections, the actual number.
Yeah, I can tell you at the beginning in March and April and May as well, it was a significant percentage. I'd say close to 50%. It has tapered off significantly. In August, for example, we essentially had like 100% consent rate because we've been able to work with respondents. We do have a significant amount that are still pending. For example, we have 67 cases pending right now. Normally 30 to 40 is our average rate for pending hearing. So we're about double what we're normally at. And so I think the rate of increase in respondents and denying consent has gone down, but we still have that backlog that we have to work through, if
sure.
That makes sense.
Okay, thank you.
Where are these hearings usually held? Is it usually like in a room at the bar office or somewhere else? Like, I'm just trying to get an idea, like, sizing and physical layout where it would normally happen.
Yeah, so the state bar has a hearing room. It's a fairly large room. I'd say probably 20 by 30. Not the size of a typical garage, I guess you'd say. But we do have the ability to open that up because it's adjacent to our CLE room. Mm-hmm. And so the CLE room is much larger. It can hold, I don't know the numbers, but probably 50 to 100 people. So there is the possibility of opening that up if the worst comes to worst, and we need to do that.
Thanks.
I have a question for Bar Council or State Bar President. I don't know which, really. Are you asking for an order that would permit these to proceed virtually until the end of the emergency declared by Governor Sisolak's directives? There's no rule, no proposed rule attached that would delineate anything broader than that. And I guess I had some questions when I read this about the mechanics of this and what programs you would use to whether Blue Jeans or Zoom or what have you, and what security measures would be in place, and so on and so forth. And I don't have that kind of vision with this petition, and I was wondering if we agreed with this position that this should be allowed to proceed virtually, how much work would be entailed in getting rules together or establishing some means of doing this virtually that are adequately secure and not going to get hacked and so on.
Thank you, Chief Justice. Bar Council and I haven't really walked all of that through, but my vision would have been, and would my request, and maybe Dan can correct me, but I see it that we are just simply asking to conduct the hearings as long as the 8th and the 5th Judicial District Court conducts hearings virtually through this COVID, so that we would just mirror that. And I'm assuming you all would want to go back to the way you used to have the hearings in front of you in person, and we would like to do the same. So I think it's just a short-term requests so that we can clear out the backlog of the people who are refusing to cooperate and work through this. So we just don't want someone to continue to sit there and say, as long as COVID is an issue, we're not going to have a hearing. So we want to be able to prosecute these cases. So Dan, you can add anything I've missed out.
I would just add that I agree with that. I echo that. I think our intent is just to have this as a temporary measure. And we certainly would welcome going back into the office once the threat of COVID-19 subsides and everyone can do that safely. And our biggest concern is, for example, we get a lot of elderly clients that we need to have testify as witnesses in the hearings, and they're extremely concerned about coming in. For example, if we sent a subpoena and told them to come in, even if we did have measures in place, you know, that's something that would really put stress on them. So we want to go back to live hearings, but I think just temporarily we'd like to have this in place. And we did provide a proposed order, but it was intentionally left kind of open-ended, because no one really knows when this is going to subside. But I think that's a good maybe sunset, as we could tag it to Governor Sisolak's directive somehow or something like that.
I'm just, we're in two roles here, and what I'm thinking about is there could be a person who had objected to proceeding virtually who believes that he or she has either a constitutional or a rule-based solid position that they're entitled, say, to confront the witnesses against them or to, you know, whatever the arguments are against virtual. And we would be entering an order allowing virtual and then facing those arguments. And so I'm just trying to envision how that would look. And then I'm not sure on the security aspects of this. When you conduct a hearing, they're public hearings, correct? So people can attend or not?
We do the hearings through Zoom. We do have, obviously, security through Zoom. We have a passcode that they have to enter to get to join, although it is open to the public as well. They can watch it but not participate into it. So, it's very similar to the Blue Jeans format.
Does anyone else have any questions?
This is Justice Hardesty. Maybe this was mentioned and I missed it. What's the nature, what's the amount of the backlog, Dan?
We have 67 hearings, and our typical pending caseload is about 30, mid-30s. So it's about double our average volume.
Okay. Well, I would just offer as a separate question or separate point, absent some valid legal challenge, it seems like this could be a permanent rule as a matter of convenience. I know that getting your members together can sometimes be a challenge. It seems like it'd be easier to organize these if they're being handled virtually. So perhaps we could get a report on how it goes and how quickly you've been able to pull this together. I mean, I'd be interested in what Mr. Marsh and Mr. Stovall have to say about how many of these they'll be able to organize and hold and process.
Justice Hardesty, this is Russ Marsh. I'm the current chair of the Southern Disciplinary Panel. And I can report that we are, as Dan mentioned, we already have been holding a number of hearings by consent through Zoom. And I'd say that in many ways, as you pointed out, it actually is going smoother than some matters that are in person, because you get the documents ahead of time. They're distributed to the members. The members and witnesses can appear remotely. And, you know, I understand that there are potential confrontation clause issues, but not the full panoply of rights apply in an administrative hearing that would apply in a criminal case. So I think your point's well taken that this should remain an option even going forward. Thank you.
Good to see you, Russ. Thanks for your contribution and for working on these matters.
You're welcome. Justice Hardesty, this is Eric Stovall. I was just appointed as chair of the Northern Nevada panel. I agree with you that, and from what I have heard, although I have not seen it in person, the a Zoom or a video conference hearing, I think, can be preferable in many ways. And I would also be very interested in seeing the results, assuming the Supreme Court grants our petition, seeing what the results are and seeing if this can't be certainly an option going forward. I do think I agree with Russ Marsh that this could be a very helpful process. And I think once people get used to it, I think it would be a preferable place, a preferable way to move forward as well.
Good to see you, Eric. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Justice.
Okay, is there anyone else who wishes to speak on ADKT 565? Do any of my colleagues have any further questions for any of the people who are participating in this call beyond those we've already asked?
No, Chief.
Thank you. Carson City, we're good?
Yes, Chief.
Yes, thank you.
And Justice Silver?
Yes, thank you, Chief.
Very well. This matter will stand submitted, and we will be in recess until the further call of the court. Thank you, everyone, for your work on this and for attending today. We appreciate your help.